Welcome to the Nerd Party.
They can travel anywhere in time and space.
Off we go!
Into time and space!
So all of time and all of space is sitting out there.
Welcome to Time and Space, one married couple's adventure through the Doctor Who universe. I'm Jessica Nunn.
And I'm her enigmatic companion, Philip Gilfus.
Now, darling, what makes you enigmatic?
I stroke my beard.
You do stroke your beard. Look at that.
Now, we listened to a Big Finish production, as we are wont to do, and this time it was Phobos.
Yes.
Another Eighth Doctor audio adventure. We should actually listen to a non-Eighth Doctor adventure one day, but why?
I think it is worth getting a lot of, because we don't get a lot of the Eighth Doctor, being as how he just got that one film. So I think we're making up for that by listening to our Eighth Doctor.
But yeah, I thought it was a fun adventure, one I would recommend. I believe it was another 99p special, I believe. But anyway, but it was very good. Just sort of random Eighth Doctor adventure with
Sheridan Smith again.
Right, and with very different, characters. It takes place in the future, or at least Earth's future, because it's on Phobos, as the name might imply.
Indeed,
and yeah. And so one of Mars's moons. And it's a little adventure planet, sort of ice, high adrenaline, extreme sports kind of place. And then,
yeah, what do they call the...
Drennies,
yes.
Adrenaline junkies.
Yes, adrenaline junkies. They call them Drennies, and they're all heading to this planet to find all of their extreme ice sports, except...
Dun-dun-dun.
Big Monster.
Yes, Big Monster. But anyway, but it's definitely one I would recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed that one.
We also had an interesting experience. We were over in Durham at the Durham Performing Arts Center the other day. I was wearing my Doctor Who shirt.
Your new, all of the new logo. 13th Doctor logo stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And got approached by a high school, or at least maybe college age young man.
Yeah, I would have thought high school. I probably part of his high school drama department, who was very interested, very excited to see the new logo.
But yeah, he said he was making his way through Classic Who, which I thought was interesting. He was going... chronologically, so I think he had started, I think he was with the third Doctor, he said, or I believe so, but so he didn't know much about the fourth Doctor or fifth Doctor companions, because I was referencing our previous show about Adric, and he's like, oh, I don't know about Adric.
Not spoilers, which is always fun to hear 30 years after the fact, if not 40, longer, yeah. for somebody new to be turned on to it, and... not want the spoilers. Mm-hmm. And of course, we believe that we saw this student later in the week as well, because North Carolina Theater is a small world,
to say the least.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we think we saw him performing in the Hamilton sing-along we went to, doing a fantastic job.
As James Madison and Hercules Mulligan.
Yes, yes. So that was a lot of fun.
Yes, this is not our Hamilton podcast that we could do one.
But. We could definitely do a Hamilton podcast, yeah, but we won't. Not tonight, anyway.
Now, darling, I have a surprise.
I understand that you do. I assume maybe this is what has to do with the enigmatic companion part.
Exactly. So we are releasing this show... on Wednesday, May 23rd. Do you know what May 24th is, darling?
No.
Okay. Well, this is going to be very interesting for our listeners, because this is going to be a visual surprise. But nevertheless, I hope it goes to audio delight. So...
well, this is... oh! Oh! It's Red Nose Day!
It
you
is
bought us noses!
I did. It'll be Red Nose Day on May 24th. So as we... talked about in our previous episode about Doctor Who charity specials. Of course, it's been going on in the UK for many years, but
yes.
It's a little newer here in the US of A. But anyway, so we ask people to certainly support that. It's a great charity for child poverty around the world. And so we ask that you support Red Nose Day as much as you can. Go online, buy a nose. If you're in America, you can go to Walgreens, which is where I got
Absolutely,
our two noses that no one can see us wearing right now.
But we will take a selfie and post it somewhere where people can see it. I can't actually, it's completely, I can't talk while I'm wearing this.
I was going to say, I'll let you take it off for now.
I'm kind of enjoying it at the same time. These are very well made, actually. This is nice. Yes. So we'll post a selfie so you can see us on our red noses. And you do the same. Post pictures of you and your red noses. We want to see those.
Yes.
It's great causes to support.
Exactly.
So, there are three simple words that can cause the Doctor Who fandom to go instantly Beatlemania crazy. Captain Jack Harkness.
Yay.
He first arrived with the Ninth Doctor and Rose, but would go on to helm his own series, Torchwood, and would return to Doctor Who with the Tenth Doctor and beyond. He is a character that is mysterious, sexual, bold, and more. And so we're going to talk all things Jack and the man who portrays him, John Barrowman.
Now, interesting to talk about Jack, of course, obviously. I mean, I should go ahead and admit, it's probably the first Doctor Who cosplay I ever did. I bought, and I actually can't remember where, it may have been eBay or something, but I bought a Captain Jack coat. Which, of course, is not screen accurate, because I'm told John Barrowman's allergic to wool, so his is more of a cloth-looking trench coat, but, of course, that kind of coat would be more wool, and so I sort of had that coat, and so, of course, his is very easy to do. You just need a blue button-up, a white t-shirt, suspenders, a belt, you know, decent trousers.
Some
boots, and I have my vortex manipulator that I bought.
Yes, of course.
So.
And actually, the first cosplay you and I ever did together was at the Fayetteville Comic-Con. I went as the TARDIS, and you went as Jack Harkness.
That's right.
So
the only thing I haven't gotten, I guess if you really wanted to complete it, would be to get the, what's it called, Wibbly? It's the gun holster.
Oh, right.
That he has.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know. You know, it's problematic, of course, for various reasons, even a toy gun to have. So I figure it's just take it as red, you know.
Yeah. Like Red Nose Day.
But it's hard for me to think back to the original Captain Jack, the series one, if you're going New Who, series one, Ninth Doctor, Chris Eccleston and Rose.
Are you my mother, Jack Harkness?
Yes. Are you my mummy? Yes. And I don't know. I can remember his first episode, and I can remember his sort of last series of episodes, because the two-parter with the Daleks and Rose and the Ninth Doctor regenerating. It's hard for me to remember the episodes in between of Captain Jack as purely companion.
Mm. Oh, yeah, of course. You're right. I don't think about him as guy who rides around with them.
Because he's obviously not dressed as sort of how I picture Captain Jack. He sort of has like the white t-shirt or the black vest or jacket or whatever.
And yeah.
He's purely companion then.
Yes. Yeah. But of course that is not a relationship that can last, because again, as Riversong says, only one psycho at a time. That's not what she says. What does she say?
One psychopath, yeah.
Only one psychopath at a time on the TARDIS. So it's not a sustainable thing for him to be a companion.
And I don't know, maybe this is looking back in retrospect, but, I mean, John Barrowman is a hard personality to be sidekick, you know?
Yes.
John Barrowman is such a huge personality in many ways. I mean, and you can see his subsequent work. I mean, I'm not even talking about West End or the stage. But, like, even on, not Green Arrow, Arrow, his lyric.
Oh, yes.
He was on Arrow,
of course,
for several
yeah,
seasons.
Playing the father, yeah.
Or playing the villain, or.
Yeah, but playing the father of the best friend
of
Arrow.
You're right.
Yeah, yes. And Jack Harkness is not really a sidekick. He's not written as a sidekick.
I mean, because I think it's interesting, and again, reaching back for me, it's been a while since I've watched first season New Who, but he's sort of a damaged figure, or introduced as sort of like a futuristic con man or whatever, you know, the rogue, the defeated time agent or whatever.
Yeah, well, and we see more of that in Torchwood when he's reunited with Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
You know, that sort of history of something. You know, we don't even really get a clear explanation of their relationship. But it is this, they've been off being naughty for a long time, and Spike doesn't understand why Jack Harkness is not that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, as much as you can remember, what do you sort of think of the initial introduction of Captain Jack?
Well, he's got that World War II thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember him, the first thing he does, I think, is makes out with Rose, isn't it?
I can't. Well, he's certainly picking her up literally because I think he has some sort of spaceship.
Yeah.
But then I think he also is it's again hard to remember that. But I think he sort of intimates something to one of the guards or something, the British soldiers or something. But yes.
Yes. Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of thing. But I mean, straight away, you get that naughtiness, you get that cheekiness. Just delightful from the get go.
Mm hmm. So, yeah, it's there's so much you can talk about, but I think when I think of Captain Jack with Nine, and not necessarily like, even though I think it's the first time that the Doctor has flirted, because Captain Jack makes references and the Doctor's like, don't you wish, or wouldn't you like to know, or something like that, we get a little hello.
Yeah. But I think whether it's the character or the actor, that sort of brings that out in other characters.
Right.
How much fun would he and Riversong be together?
Oh, my. They would explode.
Wouldn't they? How much fun would that be?
I was thinking of another moment. It's the penultimate, I think, episode of series one, or however you do your number series. But basically in the reality show, and he's on
the Trini and Susanna, okay. Or Suzanne or Susanna, I can't remember now, the clothes that they wear, I can't remember exactly what it's called.
They sort of basically zap him naked, and he's pretty much doesn't care.
Yeah, he's like, okay, yep, this is it, until they start with the saw blades, and then he's a little bit, yeah.
But he also is a much more, he's almost an early River figure, because he's a little more... violent, I guess is the word, but I'm sure there's a better word. But he's more likely to, you know, grab a gun and start shooting than the Doctor is, obviously.
Well, and I think, there are certainly times when I think the Doctor needs that, because he is not prepared to take up a weapon, and that is a completely respectable position to take. And so to keep him from having to do that, sometimes you have to have the companions who are willing to do that. So
after but a series, of course, I mean, half a series, I suppose, but of John Barrowman as Jack, I guess it didn't take long, and I don't know how long it even took for Russell T. Davies to think, you know what, I think I gotta do a show around him.
He gets his own show. Let me gather up other people who have been in Doctor Who and see if they'll be part of it as well.
Because we sort of get the series two teases of Torchwood, because that is sort of the Torchwood season, because you sort of get the literal show that starts at episode that starts Torchwood, Tooth and the Hound, or Tooth and the Claw, or something like that, the werewolf episode.
Where at the end of it, Queen Victoria is like, right, let's start up this company.
And then we then get the season finale, I'm sure it's a two-parter, where you get Torchwood 1 in London, and... Of course, I guess actually even earlier than that, because Torchwood was mentioned in the first episode of David Tennant's first series, because that's how the Prime Minister blew up the aliens that they had encountered, the ones that he had fought with and told to go away. And then she's like, well, there's sometimes you're not around. She's like, go Torchwood. And they...
Oh, yeah, of course. And then he's like, you're looking awfully old.
A bit tired.
Yes. So.
But anyway, that's all to say.
Prime Minister, I love her too.
You know, Barrowman basically got a year off, whether it was incidental or not. I guess maybe that's when they were filming.
Yeah.
And then next, because basically series three is basically series one of Torchwood.
Yeah.
So we posted a poll a couple days ago on our Twitter feed at Join Nerd Party. We certainly encourage you to follow us if you're not already. But I asked, what was people's favorite stories of Captain Jack? And I offered four choices. It was the Nine Tenant Doctor Adventures. So basically him on actually Doctor
Who. As companion, yeah.
And then I've put Torchwood Seasons 1 and 2. Because I feel like those are sort of organically together. Then I put Torchwood Children of Earth. And then Torchwood Miracle Day. So in last place, not surprising, at least to me, my wife may disagree, is Torchwood Miracle Day with 7%. And next to last place is Torchwood Children of Earth with 13% of the votes. So this is the top two. So which one do you think is first?
Ooh, Torchwood or Doctor Who? I think, considering our audience, I'm going to go with Doctor Who being first place.
With 53% of the votes, Torchwood, seasons 1 and 2.
Wow, interesting.
The 9-10 Doctor Adventures had 27%.
Okay, so they really did like the Torchwood gang all together, which I think is fair. I mean, we're not finished yet with Miracle Day.
Right. I mean, I've seen it, but I'm...
Right. I am not yet finished with Miracle Day, but it is just Jack and Gwen.
Mm.
And that's...
And Reese. Don't forget Reese.
Oh, yes, of course, Reese. Don't. We have Welsh listeners. Don't do that. Don't. That's ugly.
Hey, he bought me a drink in Chicago TARDIS once. So.
Did he really?
Yeah. Kai Owen? I believe that's his name.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I was at Chicago TARDIS, and I can't remember what year, years ago at this point. And it was him, Gareth, is that his name? Yanto?
All right, yeah.
Was there as well. And I can't remember what other story, but those are the two big ones. And but down on the hotel bar with my group, but Kai was downstairs, and he was at the bar. He ended up buying us drinks, because he said if he went up to his hotel room, he was just going to miss his, I don't think they were married yet, but his partner, and their child. And so he just went downstairs and so I had a nice chat with him.
Yeah,
he
seemed
just like he is, nice Welshman, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. I do like Reese, but he's not officially Torchwood.
I know.
So
yes.
But
anyway.
So yeah, I think that all of them together in this episodic show, I think certainly is much more appealing. I'm enjoying Miracle Day, except it's so American.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that at some appropriate venue.
Yes.
So back
to
Captain Jack.
Yeah, sorry. Captain Jack and Torchwood.
So let's talk about sort of Captain Jack as the leader of Torchwood 3, I suppose, technically, if we're being correct. But seasons 1 and 2 of Torchwood, I mean, we can talk about all of them if we want to, but seasons 1 and 2 of Torchwood, Captain Jack is leader of his gang and...
Shagging all the people.
And having the doctor's hand...
In a
jar or something.
Yeah, in formaldehyde, I assume, or something like that.
But it's you know, as and maybe we'll do a show one day about Doctor Who spinoffs, but as you think of them, I mean, I think Torchwood, I don't think Torchwood is bigger than Doctor Who, I'm not going to say that, but it's so separate and apart that it's, you know, I think it's a spinoff that sort of spins off very well. Like, in other words...
Yes, it stands alone very nicely. Mm-hmm. In fact, Holly, our friend from England who was here in January, talked about Torchwood being her show way more than Doctor Who was.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that she really enjoyed. So again, it stands alone. And I think that you could, except for the hand and the formaldehyde, you can pretty much watch that without knowing very much about Doctor Who at all.
Because I think the only, and someone can feel free to correct me, the only like Doctor Who alien we ever see is like the Cybermen from the one episode with Yanto and his cyber girlfriend
fiance
from Torchwood 1, which is sort of a spinoff from that.
Yeah, but even then, you don't have to know a lot about Doctor Who. These are just standalone villains, potentially.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's pretty much the only... Other than the reference of later in The Tenth Doctor and Journey's End, when it's all the spinoffs together, Torchwood and Sarah Jane and everyone comes together, and you have sort of the Daleks invading the hub. But that's Doctor Who.
So, yeah.
But Captain Jack. But we kind of learn a little bit more, or kind of learn a little bit more about Captain Jack. You know, he's introduced as being... You know, if you'd never seen him before, or Doctor Who, you know, he's this mysterious figure, and, you know...
He can't be killed. I mean, that's established very early on.
Yeah, the first episode. And then his sexuality is sort of, you know, it's the first couple episodes, and they're like...
I mean, he shags at least two of his co-workers that we know of.
And, you know, but then his past is always like, you know, where did he come from, and who is he, you know...
And where did he go? Is he Cotton-Eyed Joe?
Yes, maybe.
Maybe. Huh.
Well, Jack.
Cotton-Eyed Jack.
That's right.
Okay.
And so...
Joe's son. Like exactly. The Kennedys.
Yeah, pretty much. But he has the hair for it.
Yes, he does.
So, but yeah, I think it's interesting that, you do get tease some elements of his past.
Yeah, I mean, we get his brother.
Eventually.
Again, we get Spike.
Right.
And I'm not going to call him anything else, because as we have talked about, the actor playing the character, what's his real name?
James Marsters.
Is basically playing Spike.
Yeah, because he's American. He is, it's weird to see here, but he's an American. And so the fact that he plays that character, it's Spike.
That is, yeah. It's the exact same accent. It's
hair.
Very similar to the clothes. It's Spike. So we're just going to call him Spike and consider it a crossover, perhaps.
Yeah, it works.
But yeah, like I say, again, that relationship is never fully explored and explained in terms of their history.
And I think you can maybe, if you were trying to do the sort of the linear or doing the chronology of Captain Jack, you know, he has this tragic beginning with losing his brother, Gray, or the attack by whatever, somehow ends up joining the Time Agency, whatever that means.
Yep. We don't know anything really about the Time Agency.
Other than they get vortex manipulators.
Yeah.
And that, you know, are they good, bad, in between, who knows?
We got nothing.
But that there's sort of a dark side, a very dark side, I guess.
Yeah.
And all that. And that, but eventually his arrival on Earth, or maybe when he was stranded on Earth, and his time with the Doctor, and then his sort of, then if you, once you know, after Series 2 Torchwood, then you learn the sort of origin story of him being discovered by Torchwood. And sort of,
yeah, of course,
the 100 years or however long.
Yeah.
His career in Torchwood since then.
Yeah.
Waiting for the Doctor to come back.
Which is referenced a lot. I mean, even in the third season.
Children of Earth.
Yeah, that's right. Where they go back and the people who, you know, hit the things that he did 50 years previous,
yeah,
or
the Scottish
40
children
years. Yeah.
To the 4, 5, 6.
Is coming back to haunt him, and the people that he had worked with have all been killed. And he talks about not being able to, he didn't know their names. He didn't know their real names. So,
yeah. But it's interesting, I think. He always gets sort of the great reveal or whatever, because I'm thinking of sort of the first episode of season 2 or series 2 of Torchwood, you know, when he's, you know, we know from Doctor Who, he was sort of sucked by, you know, the TARDIS. Well, he jumped onto the TARDIS and had an adventure with the Doctor and then came back, and he sort of got that great entry, you know, banging up the door and shooting the lobster fish guy and like, hey, kids, did you miss me? And he sort of has that. But I think Captain Jack also, I mean, in Torchwood especially, has this sort of dark side. Like, he'll do anything if he thinks it's right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, killing or whatever.
His grandson.
Yeah.
And it's such a wonderful performance moment for John Barrowman. Because you do see that torture of one child or millions. And the sacrifice and... But that's another thing that makes him very mysterious. I mean, he's got a daughter and a grandchild out there, and we got nothing. You know, there's no, we aren't given any history to that.
Yeah, what has he been doing for these 100 years on Earth?
Yeah, and, you know, it's just sort of taken as read. Here's his daughter and his grandson calls him Uncle Jack, and that's all we know.
And there's, because we haven't gotten there yet, Miracle Day, so this is only a minor spoiler. There will be a flashback episode of Miracle Day for Captain Jack.
Oh, okay.
So, so
we'll get a little bit.
Yeah, so a relationship he had in the early 20th century.
Excellent. And then, of course, in one of the Doctor Who episodes, we get the Face of Beau reference.
Yeah, so what do you think about that? Is that a tease? Where, in your head canon, where does it fit?
I don't know that it matters to me where it fits. You know,
no, in other words, is he the Face of Beau?
Or
is it just a...
Yeah, he can't die.
Right. But the Face of Beau dies.
Well, yeah, but that's when the Earth dies, isn't it? Or the world ends, or the universe ends, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's ages away. So, yeah, no, I'm comfortable with it. And I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it as an idea.
Wise old head.
Yeah. Giant head by then. I'm interested in how that all happened.
I'm sure there's a Captain Jack joke in there somewhere.
Yep. But yeah, no, I like the idea of him being the Face of Beau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, I think, you know, for instance, you mentioned Children of Earth. I think with his grandson, you know, I mean, it helped he was the only kid that was handy. But also, I think it was also the price he was paying. When he,
the penance.
Yes. Getting rid of all the, you know, sacrificing those dozen children or however many it was to the 4, 5, 6. And
yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't the penance that his daughter signed up for. No.
But I think that's Jack. He will do anything and he will cross the line and he'll do whatever it takes. But he'll also know that there's going to be consequences and a price to pay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which suggests that that's not a first-time experience.
Right.
So.
So what do you think is the sort of the magnetism of the Captain Jack character?
I mean, he's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certainly that. There's always just a little bit of a cheeky twinkle in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people just are drawn to that. And the fact that he is an equal opportunity flirt. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your gender. He's going to flirt. That's going to be a thing.
There's a great YouTube clip of Captain Jack flirting. The Mayfair will be the title of him just like saying hello to people. And the doctor just going, stop. He's like, I was just saying hello.
Yep. A little bit of Joey Tribbiani, how you doing? You know, that kind of thing. And yeah, I think that, you know, because that sort of attention makes anybody feel special.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing him treat so many people like they're special.
And there's a bit of the doctor in Captain Jack, because as the doctor, you know, more or less lives forever, changes. But Captain Jack lives forever, you know, face of Beau notwithstanding. But the fact that it's a whole, you know, people that he knows and love will die. Mm-hmm. And so can he ever be with someone? And so what do you sort of think of?
Well, and how Yanto alone is he? Has that moment mm-hmm. of, you know, you're going to watch me grow old and watch me die. And Jack's like, yeah, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then, you know.
Yanto dies, yes.
Yanto dies. Not ready really to talk about that just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that idea. And it's exactly the same thing that the doctor struggles with. It's what Sarah Jane says to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, you left me so you wouldn't have to watch me grow old.
Because I think, and I don't know, I sometimes feel it's overplayed, but I appreciate some of the Gwen-Jack part, because Gwen usually grounds Jack. She's almost his companion. Actually, I don't know. I think that's unfair, because I think she's kind of more level playing field after a while with him. But at least, for lack of a better analogy, she's the companion, as doctors' companions are, of the heart.
The grounding.
The conscience or whatever. And so that when Captain Jack's willing to do anything, she's like, you know, hold on, wait a minute, let's think about the cost here.
Yeah.
And sometimes he ignores her, sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah. And I like Gwen, but we'll come back to her later.
But yeah, so how do you feel? Because it seemed Yanto was reaching out for a relationship, but Captain Jack was doing the, like, I don't do couples, or I don't do... What do you think how Captain Jack was?
I mean, I think that that's part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of nothing. I mean, how long can you last?
Mm-hmm.
If Captain Jack is 35 and Yanto is 30, how long do they have together before it starts to become weird?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yanto aging and Captain Jack always being 35. Mm-hmm. You know, can they stay together when Yanto's 55? Can they stay together when Yanto's 65? You know, so it's not even watching your loved one die, grow old and die.
Mm-hmm.
It's whilst also staying the same age.
Can cause some resentment from the aging partner.
Well, and some resentment from the non-aging partner who, you know,
the young
is,
and do stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he goes off and picks up the guy from Titanic shortly thereafter. And, you know, that's also who Jack is,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so whether or not he is capable of making any sort of long-term commitment, much less one that is so uneven and is always going to be uneven.
But is there anything to be said? Because, again, I don't know British television as much as you do, of having a... Now, of course, Captain Jack is sort of, I don't know what the right word is, pansexual, you know, whatever the word is, because I know there's so many categories about
what fluid, sexually fluid.
Yeah. But having a character like that, how common is that in British TV?
I imagine, and I don't know for sure.
Because we sure see him naked a lot.
We do, and I think that that's what the British public wants.
Right.
To be fair. I don't know that it's all... I think it's becoming more common.
Right.
But at the time that it came out, I think it was just a thing.
Yeah.
And I think it, in a way that... America might have made a bigger deal out of it. I mean, I'm thinking about the woman from Orange is the New Black. I can see it, Laverne Cox.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, and that was a thing, and everybody wanted to talk about it. Yeah. And that's fine, and we should talk about it and all of those sorts of things. But I think the British just sort of go, okay. You know, okay, that's a thing. We're moving into the next section.
At least I think. Whether I know or not, British TV is a little more sexy than America TV. Whereas American TV is a little more violent than British TV. But
after the watershed.
Yeah. But you sort of get a lot more of, you know, making out. Jack makes out with lots of people.
He does. Yes.
I mean, the sort of like the infamous, well, in my eyes, but the season two of Torchwood, episode one with Spike and him, you know, beating each other up and then making out, you know.
Yeah, that's just the way things go.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the man behind the jacket.
Okay.
John Barrowman.
Yes.
So, did you have any exposure, if you will?
I was just going to say, I can't remember if I've told my John Barrowman story before.
Pray tell.
I was doing a play. I was performing an Amdram show in the Guildford Castle grounds. And I can't remember which one it was now. But that's unimportant. So I was doing what I do every day, you know, walking from my flat to the Guildford Castle grounds, and I'm doing through the first gate, which is really just sort of pylons. There's a car. I'm minding my own business, and there's a car in there, and I'm like, well, there shouldn't be car. There, you can't have a car in the Guildford Castle grounds. That's strange. And so then I sort of look up properly. And they're filming something. Mm-hmm. And John Barrowman's there filming things. So I was on my own, so I immediately kept going. I went to where we were performing the show, and one of my best friends, Nathan, and I was like, Nathan, John Barrowman's totally down there. And Nathan freaks out. And so we went back down and handed him flyers for our show.
Awesome.
Yeah, he didn't come see it, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah, you always gotta try.
You gotta try, yeah.
Now, I wasn't super close to him, but my experience was I was in Cardiff for Doctor Who crazinesses, as usual, and Torchwood craziness, and we timed our visit, the group I was with, that it would also be John Barrowman in concert at Cardiff, his adopted hometown, because he and Scott, I think is his husband, have a place there. I saw John Barrowman in concert. I'm trying to remember the venue, but we were definitely in the back. But nevertheless, it was pretty cool. And he does the concert like he normally does. He has this very, I don't know if you've ever heard it. He has his own doctor song that he's written.
Oh,
his
Lord.
Ode to the Doctor.
Excellent.
And I'm sure it's like a parody of a song, but I can't remember what it's a parody of. But anyway, but yes, his Ode to the Doctor. And then there's a part where it's a song that he sings and his parents come on stage and dance.
Aww.
Yeah. Because his parents often, and I don't know the status of they're all still living or anything. But anyway, of course, you know, he's Scottish parents. Have you ever heard John Barrowman speak Scottish?
Yes and no. I mean, when he talks normally, you can often catch. Because I think my first actual experience with John Barrowman, not in person, was one of the...
Who are you?
No, it was a singing competition. Okay. They were trying to find... I can't remember if it was Maria or Joseph.
Yeah, okay.
Probably Joseph. I think I watched Joseph more than Maria. And so he was a judge on that, and they were trying to find the next Joseph for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And so in his normal, regular, I'm in Britain talking voice, it's like, what is, you know, it's such a hybrid in a way that probably to an extent my accent is sometimes, you know, there's this not American, oh, Scottish, oh, you know, some words and some lilts and things like that.
I'll have to show you after this recording is over, YouTube, of when he's at home. He turns 100%.
I can believe it. I can believe it.
I think I heard once, I don't know if this is true or not, I heard it freaks his husband out. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. Don't make me feel like I'm married to somebody else. It's weird. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I can believe it. But yeah, absolutely. And again, that's one of the things, as somebody who, you know, became a little bit hybrid, I can completely understand it. I think my accent changes when I go to England, or when I'm around British people, or even when I'm trying to speak more professionally, quote unquote, you know. So, yeah, I completely get that.
But it's me. It is interesting. Again, I mean, I'm one of them, but I think it's interesting how that character has attracted so many fans. And because I think it led to the success, at least the hard, because I think Torchwood has fans that are hardcore. Like there's so many fandoms out there that are not, you know, big, but what was it like the whole, it's, you know, it's not wide, but it's, you know, deep.
Yes.
Whereas other ones that are very wide, but thin, you know, and so.
Aww,
yeah. And so. But, you know, like I'm thinking of, I mean, I'm not trying to pick it. Well, I won't even name it.
A little bit fierce.
But I was just thinking of like sitcoms that have lots of people watching them. But I wouldn't say those people are diehard fans. Whereas opposed, you have diehard. And so I think that's how Torchwood got to be so, well, successful as it was. So in other words, you know, to have the three series and then to go away for years and then people be like, when are we getting the next series? Yeah. When are we getting the next series? When are we getting the
and
next
after the fourth one, people still shouted it and then, we're getting something.
Well, we're getting Big Finish now, and that's one thing I think we're looking for, at least I'm looking forward to. Speak for you. I think it's already out now. I can't remember what it's called, but the latest Torchwood Big Finish with all the original cast back.
Yeah.
So it's something I'm looking forward to listening to. But yeah, Captain Jack, I just think, you know, like you said, he has that sort of movie star quality, charm, attraction, equal opportunity. I've seen him before. I saw him in person at, I can't remember if it was Raleigh or Durham. Went to a comic convention.
All right, yeah.
And it was sort of like separate and apart. Like before we even went to the con, there was a sort of separate place where it was sort of, you had him and he was on stage and he's I don't know what the right word is, flirt awful, you know, he's just cracking jokes the entire time and, you know, being very naughty and everything. Question and answer. I did get to ask him a question. I was the first one because they're like, who wants to ask questions? And you have all that awkward moment. Everyone's like, not me. I'm like, I'll go. Fine. Yeah, you know, yeah. I'll walk to this microphone.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah.
So, but
did
anyway.
He flirt with you?
No. My question, I can't remember his answer, which I feel very bad. I wish I'd remember, but I asked him, what is his favorite musical to listen to and what would be his favorite musical to be in?
Ah.
I can't remember what. I think one of his answers was one he listened to while working on a project of some sort, so he always had that, and I can't remember, but anyway, because, you know, obviously, and surprised we never saw Captain Jack, even though he's not a very, that's not his character, but Captain Jack never sang.
I mean, you think famous, about Patti LuPone, when she was in the late 80s, early 90s television
sitcom,
show.
Yeah.
Wasn't a sitcom.
Well,
but,
I know the drama.
Life Goes On. I can't remember if that was what it was called. But she did. She sang. Yeah. And then Katie Siegel in John Ritter, the something about dating my daughter or something.
Oh, the 10 Rules for Dating My Daughter.
Yeah. And she sang and all of those sorts of things. And we never get that.
I mean, there's these sort of extra, I mean, it's not a part of the episode, obviously, of him singing in olden days.
Oh, right. Anything goes.
One of the Torchwoods. It was in the Torchwood episode where they go back in time with the original Captain
Jack.
Oh,
right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's just him singing in that, in the sort of the 40s club there.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. Okay. So any final thoughts about why Captain Jack is so interesting? Is it just the coat?
That's all it is. It's the coat and the bottom.
Right.
Fingers crossed we get to see him maybe a little bit with 13. That'd be fun.
It'd be interesting. I know he's always happy to come back.
Yeah. Or again, with Riversong. I just think that would be...
That'd be a good Big Finish, you know, because we can't do things on screen, but that'd be a great River and...
Yeah, going off on adventures for a while together. Anyway, right, into the TARDIS library, my darling.
No, I meant I did have to scratch the head a little bit about to find a good classic Who that would connect to Captain Jack.
And to be fair, you may have gone over the line.
That's fine. I will always do that.
It's a tenuous link at best.
That's right. But again, Captain Jack is so unique, it's hard to find a classic Who, you know, analogy or analogous person. But this is what I thought. John Barrowman, star, many times for the West End.
Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, and who else in Doctor Who? A companion of sort that was a star of the West End, or at least has been there and performed. And I thought that would be, of course, Mel.
Bonnie
Langford. That's her name, right? Langford, yeah. And so, you know, I don't remember all of the Seventh Doctor's adventures, but I know his first series is not generally considered a lot of good stories, so I figured we had done one of his ones earlier ones, or we had done the introduction of Mel before.
Yes.
With the Trial of the Time Lords.
Yeah.
With Six.
Yep.
And so I thought we'd get her exit, and that's with Dragonfire.
Yes.
This first premiered 23 November 1987, and this again was with the Seventh Doctor, and is Mel's last series. And so you want to give us a very brief synopsis.
It is a very brief synopsis from TARDIS.wikia. As trouble brews on the space trading colony of Ice World, the Doctor and Mel encounter their sometimes allies, Sabalom Glitz, and a new friend who goes by Ace.
Ace!
Bless her heart. So 80s.
You know, the music is, there's these musical cues, like, the synthetic. And, like, if you took that out, this thing would be a little bit more lasting than...
Yes, know? Yeah.
You're not helping yourself.
Took the synthesizer. I mean, the hair and the outfits don't help.
Right, and I can forgive.
But, the music, you know, as you say, the synth definitely places it in a very specific moment in time.
But, and we can talk a little more about the episode, but like, as far as Mel goes, that's a little disappointing. I mean, I feel like she gets, from what I read out there, and folks, listeners, you can disagree with me. I mean, I don't know if I'd have to think about my personal opinion, but generally it seems, at least in whatever general means, that Mel's not well thought of as a companion. Nothing against Bonnie, of course, but, you know, you can only do as much as what you're given. And so, her goodbye episode, not that it's really her goodbye episode, but it's her last one, doesn't really get much for her.
No, not at all.
I think Ace gets a lot more than Mel does.
Yeah, and at the end of it, when they've wrapped it all up, Mel's like, okay, well, I'm leaving. And the Doctor's like, okay. And Mel's like, but Ace is still here, you should take her with you. And the Doctor's like, okay. And that's it. There's no reason why she's leaving. There's no drama. There's no what am I going to do without you. There's no moping around until the green lady tells him to snap out of it. It is just, I'm leaving now, but Ace is here. Okay.
Ace.
Yeah. And she has nitrogen hairspray or something. I didn't get all of that.
And the fact that she wants to hang around with Glitz, who's not exactly, seems like the most interesting companion to be around.
Well, yeah.
Well,
not,
I won't
not
say...
The yeah, probably very interesting.
Yeah, too, but interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mel seems like a nice girl. I don't know why she wants to hang around Glitz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice, cheery girl. I want to hang around the guy who's, like, the rogue.
She's going
thief.
Through a bad boy phase or something. It's, yeah. Yeah, that was a shame. But there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, because usually with a goodbye, and to be stereotypical, it's usually like... You get, like, and I think we talked about this with Adric last time. That's when you usually get that, oh, she has a bunch of lines and a whole story and characterization. Yeah, where she's saying goodbye now, and I know we probably should have done this earlier, but better late than never, right? This one's sort of like, it's Mel. She screams. We're good.
Yep. The end.
Yeah. So, I you know, and you've only missing, I think, about three or four serials with Mel. Otherwise, you've seen it all.
Bless.
So, yeah, I don't think she really gets a fair chance. For whatever reason, writers.
Yeah, well, and she needed to go off and do West End and then soap operas, so.
But I guess, since there's not a lot to this episode, would you think a little bit more of the Seventh Doctor?
Yeah. I don't understand why he climbed into that ice cave and hung by his umbrella, but yeah, whatever.
Exactly. And then, I don't know, I really do enjoy Ace. She's probably in my top 10 companions, so. you know, what can you want?
Girl to yeah, I mean, I think she's plucky. I think she's got a lot going for her. She's
dumping milkshakes left and right.
Dumping milkshakes and throwing nitrogen hairspray hither and yon.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she kept saying Ace all the time Ace. Got a little bit on my nerves. Does she continue to do that?
I think it's just the first episode.
I was going to say, because I don't remember or, her doing that one? In the Brill? Cat episode. Brill. Well, yeah. But... Yeah, Ace felt forced. Brill, yeah. I can get behind a little more.
I don't think you should say your own name.
Yeah. Or, oh, I'm known for this, and so everybody calls me, you know.
Well, Dorothy, I mean.
Yeah, fair. But, you know, you could go with Dottie or Dot or...
I guess is she sort of the Arrested Development version of Steve Holt?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Bless her heart, in a punk rock.
How do you, and what the age thing? Because, like, you know, with Rose, she's supposed to be what? 19?
19, yeah. I think she specifically says at some point 19.
And I think that she does not pull that off. I mean, I think she's 20. You do early 20s. I don't think it hurts the storyline. Yeah. Say 20, 21. Yeah. I don't know what to do. But, like, Ace, 16. I mean, you know, Sophie does not look 16. I mean, that's not a critique. I mean, you know. When you're 26 or however old she was in real life, you know, it's hard to look 16. But again, I don't know why they always choose these young age. I think you go 18, 19, 20. Does that really destroy the, I don't know.
No, and I don't think there's any reason you can't be like a proper grown-up either. I mean, yeah. Donna made it work.
Yeah.
Even to an extent, Martha makes it work. Clara is...
Well, and I guess to go to the classic Who era, you know, if they're trying to get the kids to watch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, Adric's young, Nissa's young, Tegan's young. I mean, those are, I mean, that's what I immediately think of. Susan, if you want to go that far back.
Yeah, and Ace is properly down with the kids.
Yeah, but you can still, you know, I don't know. 18, I guess, would have been much more, I don't know. Because 16 just being problematic sometimes.
Yes, yeah, traveling around with an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're listening to a podcast about this very thing, aren't we?
Yeah, we're listening to a criminal podcast, hence the title, the name.
Yes. Yeah. But, yeah, it's called Criminal for a Reason, yo.
That's right.
But, yeah, I don't know. This is a day of Jimmy Savile, so it's acceptable. Sorry, all my British people, for bringing that up. so, yeah. You make do, and you assume nobody got molested.
Exactly.
That's what we go with. So what are we going to talk about next week, darling?
Well, because we've sort of brought it up, and since we're almost done with Miracle Day, we're going to just get into Torchwood. I know this is a Doctor Who podcast, but it's a Doctor Who spinoff, and so we can talk about how it is like Doctor Who, how it isn't, and how it moved beyond that or didn't. And, you know, we've been watching all of Torchwood, Sully. Of course, the anagram of Doctor Who is Torchwood.
Is it really? I'm terrible. First of all, I'm terrible at anagrams. But, oh, that's really interesting.
And so, because it was originally used, this is off the top of my head, and I apologize if this sounds like mansplaining. It was originally used to mask a Doctor Who script. I don't know if it was like a season finale.
Oh,
and so they referred to it as Torchwood.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think it was Russell
no,
used
I
that.
I like that.
But anyway, but.
I don't feel mansplained to you. Yeah. Okay.
But we're going to be talking about Torchwood as soon as we finish Miracle Day. Hopefully, we finish it in time because it is. A rather American season. It is.
Yeah, it's running long. I keep thinking, why isn't this done yet? We've
compared to Miracle Day in the 5 episodes.
Yeah,
or excuse me, Children of Earth.
But. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, maybe we'll watch one tonight.
Sure.
And maybe if we get a chance, because we're not terribly busy this week, maybe we can if the big finish is out.
Yes, we could. I'm assuming it's long, which is good. But yeah, we can at least start it.
You know, on Saturday we have a 2-hour drive.
Oh, that's true. We are going. It's Memorial Day in America, Memorial Day weekend. And so, obviously, it's the 3-day. We are going to go see my niece turn 1.
Yes. I mean, we're not actually just going to sit around and watch her turn 1. That would be weird.
Well, she may have turned 1 before we've gotten there. So.
That's true. Yeah.
You know how children are.
Although we were there when
a watch
she was.
A watch baby is never something.
Yeah. Yeah. A watch baby never boils, I think. which I think is appropriate, which is why you should always watch your babies. But yeah, we were there when she was about 3 days old. We got to help her parents bring her home from the hospital, and now we get to go celebrate her first birthday, and we're all going to sit around and talk about whether or not she's going to be a ginger.
That's right.
Her Uncle Philip and her, what is Gigi? What's Grandma?
Yeah, Gigi, that's right.
Is it Gigi?
My mom.
Yes.
But we will definitely try to nerd her up, because that's our position with all babies that we know.
Yes. Yeah.
We will nerd people up.
Well, that is, in fact, it's what we do with everybody.
What's the purpose of this podcast? We're nerding you up as you're listening to it.
We are nerding you. You are welcome.
Exactly. So until next week, darling, you're my favorite star in all of time and space.
And you're my favorite nerd, sweet man.